It's good to be together, everybody. I'm talking about Heart Life, and it is a session on why we do the things that we do. I really like Heart Life. It's a tool, it's a framework that basically helps you get better at aligning with your true self. I don't know about you, but I'm regularly find myself in situations where I go, why did you do that, you muppet? Or like, why did you come across like that? Like, you just came across like an absolute idiot. And they now think you're an idiot, but on the inside, you're not that idiot. On the inside, you're like this really nice, you know, person, and you've just come across as really, like, intense or, you know, whatever. And it's really good at just helping you just realize, you know, what is the way I'm behaving? And is this the way that I'm meaning to behave? And how can I try and, how can the way that I'm being be in line with kind of the true version of you on the inside? So I'm really happy that we're doing this series across the churches. It's not something that's been kind of forced upon me, you know, by Colin or anything like that. It genuinely is something that I found really, really helpful, a really helpful framework to draw from personally in my own life. And even just when we're having kind of, you know, discussions about what we do and stuff like that, I often find myself just drawing from the framework that I've kind of, the more I've done it, the more it's kind of started to solidify in my head. And I find myself, you know, having conversations with people going, you know, whatever we do, I definitely don't want to operate out of pride or fear. I want our approach to be one of humility. And, you know, things like that, you just start to draw from it the more you kind of soak yourself. So, you know, today we're talking about why we do the things we do, and it's going to hopefully be quite a simple session. If you could just turn to, I need three volunteers, Exodus 32, verse 1 to 5. I want someone to read that out. If someone could read out Exodus 32, verse 15.
Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
Just read verse 4 again.
And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf.
Yeah, so that's Aaron. Take note, what's he done? I don't need to read out verse 16. Verse 16 is basically Moses comes down from the mountain. Okay, so Moses up the mountain, he now comes down the mountain and finds Aaron having done this. If you could read from verse 21 to 24.
Then Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them? Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, that they are prone to evil. For they said to me, make a God for us who will go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them tear it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf.
It just jumped out of the fire. It wasn't me, Gov. What behaviour do we see there? From Aaron. Defensive, yeah. Blame shifting. Fear.
Avoiding.
Stupidity. If it wasn't like just one of the most tragic stories in the Bible, you know, if it wasn't for that, it'd just be absolutely hilarious. It is hilarious, but it's also, you know, very, very tragic at the same time. You know, it's exactly the same as what you get at youth club at times. You know, we've got an incident between two kids. One kid's hit another kid, and You say, look, why did you hit little Johnny? And the other one goes, little Johnny called me names. And as if, like, that is the reason. Because little Johnny called him names, little Johnny got hit. Like, there's nothing, there's no, there's a direct correlation between the two. So this is what Aaron's doing. He's not taking any responsibility. He's basically saying, the calf just jumped out. The people made me do it. There was the situation and there was just behaviour. There's a direct connection between the situation and behaviour. I'm not sure that's the whole story. I think there's some other aspects going on. Barking dog analogy. Okay, so the other day, I was walking along, I was running along in the park, and I'm ashamed to tell you that a dog came up to me and started barking and jumped up at me, and I absolutely froze, basically, and this dog was just barking away, jumping up at me, and I just freaked out. I couldn't do anything. I tried to look for a stick, and there was a stick there, but I couldn't get to it. I wanted to beat the dog to death with this stick, but you know, the owner was miles away from me, and I was absolutely terrified. Because, you know, as that was happening, I basically just had all these memories of when I was a child. I got knocked over by a dog in a park, and the owner was miles away, and it just stood over me and just barked again and again and again and again. So when this dog came up to me, I knew nothing was wrong, but as it was barking, suddenly I was frozen. It was a chihuahua. Okay, it didn't actually happen. I was walking. This is what really happened. I was walking along. I was running along in the park the other day, and suddenly this dog came up to me, and the dog jumped up, and I thought, oh, what a great dog! And it started barking, and I grabbed it by the paws, and I was like, hello, dog! And it was like, rah rah rah! And it tried to lick me in the face. I was like, oh, you're a crazy dog! And I saw the stick, and I grabbed the stick and I threw it, and you know, the owner was like, he ran over to me and was like, oh hi, and I was like, oh, great dog, and. You know, and as I saw the dog, all these memories flooded back to me from when I was a kid, and I had this dog, and the dog was my absolute best friend. We used to go everywhere together. Same situation, totally different behavior. What was the element which changed it?
Choice.
Past experience, choice. It's our thinking. Is our thinking. So the element which comes in between the situation, so we can have the same situation, but totally different behaviours. What comes in the middle is our thinking. And our thinking is shaped by our memories, our experiences. Those experiences and our memories, they leave impressions on us attached to emotions. So that memory of the dog coming up and barking at me, that's attached to the emotion of fear. The memory of the dog, you know, being my best friend as a kid, coming up and jumping up, that evokes that emotion of love. So memories, they have templates which are connected to emotions, and that shapes our thinking, and the thinking determines our behaviour. Everyone with me? If you can remember anything from today, this is basically the learning point, okay? So sometimes we can't change situations at all, and we think that we can't change our behaviour, but actually we can if we change our thinking. And our thinking can either be effective, ineffective, or self-focused, others-focused. What do you think was really going on in Aaron's fear? Yeah, fear could have been one of the things that was going on in his heart. He could have just been just feeling just genuinely fearful, just thinking, man, where the heck is Moses? I can't stand up to the pressure of these people. My only option is just to go with what they want to do, you know, just that his behaviour may well have come out of fear. What else could have been going on in Aaron's heart? Pride? Yeah, it could be like, you know, forget Moses. I could be a better leader than Moses. I can lead just as good as Moses. There's stuff going on in his heart which caused him to take the people of Israel in that direction. As Andy shared over the last few weeks, our behaviours is nothing to do, you know, with our identity. basically, our identity at our core is that, you know, we are made in the image of God. You know, when we believe in Jesus, we accept the Holy Spirit, you know, we become new creations. The very, very core of us is one of goodness. It's not that we never sin, but it's that, you know, our swerve to rot, so to speak, is a swerve not to rot, is a swerve towards life, rather than a swerve towards, you know, death. It's not that, you know, people who aren't Christians don't have any goodness in them, and people who are Christians don't have any, you know, badness in them. That's crazy. But it's about the core of your nature. Are you on this kind of trajectory, this swerve to goodness, or this swerve to not goodness? Basically, at the core of us, and in our absolute heart, you know, at the very, well, like I've just said, at the core of us, you know, we are good. But things come in life which damage us, which hurt our hearts, things which people say, events which happen, they come and they can cause wounds in our hearts. Even though our hearts are good, our hearts can get damaged, which can then affect our behaviour. Let me give you a couple of examples. A little girl wants to help her mother carry her dinner plates, these posh dinner plates, at a party. Everyone's having a great time at the party, and the little girl trips, and the plates smash, they go everywhere. And the mum sees the girl, and she sees that the girl could step on the plates, so she shouts to the girl, "Get out of the way! You know, you're going to hurt yourself," or whatever. And the girl suddenly just, you know, she doesn't see the fact that her mum was trying to care for her. The girl just thinks the mum's just having a right go at her, basically. And a wound is created in the girl's heart. The result of that is that she makes an inner vow. She goes, you know, "I never want to do anything like that again." And what happens is, from that decision that she made in her heart, you know, as a little girl, she then has this thing within her that she really, really wants to be a perfectionist and always wants to strive to be a perfectionist. The wounds in us sometimes affect the way that we behave, and we can behave and have unhealthy coping mechanisms to deal with the wounds in our hearts. When I was doing the Heart Life, you know, indicator, and just looking through, you know, the various behaviours, one of the things which I've struggled with again and again and again and again is avoiding. It's one of the below the line behaviours. I think, why am I always a bit of an avoider? I hate conflict. I hate you know, anything that kind of involves, you know, a potential difficult discussion with someone. Oh, hey, can I chat to you about this? Really not happy with the way that you dealt with this situation, or really not happy with the way this worked out. I am, like, terrified of those conversations. And some, you know, over the past few years, I thought, man, should I even, like, be the leader of, like, of this church if I can't, like, if I'm too scared to have, like, basic, like, conflict kind of confrontations? Those kind of conversations, those difficult conversations that you need to have with people for the sake of, you know, for the sake of the health of the church or whatever. I just find those things really, really difficult. And as I was just thinking and praying about this session, I was walking by the river, and God started to show me when I just got this kind of this. I was reminded of when I was a child. When I was a child, I moved down south from up north about the age of 8, and I lost all my friends and had to make new friends. As I made new friends, I had a best friend, and I was like, me and him were just really, really close. He took me under his wing, and I just absolutely thought the world of him. And then later on, he just dumped me. Basically, he just kind of stopped being my friend, and I was totally heartbroken. He went off with, you know, the other kids and stuff like that, and I found it really difficult to make good friends. And I think, you know, ever since then, I had this thing in me which was like really wanting. I just really kind of deep seated need for people to like me, and to always try and get people to just think, oh, that Dave, he's a great guy, or whatever. And I felt like God, that was, I was like, when I was praying about it, I was like, why do I hate avoiding? I felt like God say, like, That's one of the reasons. You really, really want people to like you, and you can't stand it if people don't like you. And then he started, and I was like, well, that's obviously not like right. What is right, God? And I felt like him saying, you know, it's about like mutual honor, Dave. You're really good at honoring other people. You find that really, really easy. In fact, you like to do that. You like to show others love. You like to show others honor. But you're actually, this is about you honoring yourself. It's about you like having a voice and there being mutual honor in the relationship. And I was like, flip. So I don't really know what I do with that. I don't know, like, basically I'm going to try and have that in my head when I, you know, needing to have those some of those difficult conversations. But essentially, this is what it's about, really. So the voids can come from a lack of love, self-worth, security, fill them with pride. Wounds can come from criticism, not being good enough, not being accepted, heal the wound. Fear. Oh, go back. Go back. Go forward. Thanks, Tim. Where are those cards, Keith? Those cards. If you weren't here last week, you didn't get one of these cards, just put your hand up. Okay, quite a few people. Yeah, grab one of these cards, whack them on your fridge. So, in conclusion, whatever the situation, we have control over our behaviour. We have control over the way we act, the way we talk to people. That's determined by our thinking. Barking dog. This week, I'd just like you, and now actually, just to maybe just have a think, have a pray, just talk to God, just go, you know, Lord, you know, is there any ways that I'm behaving, which I think actually this is potentially not very helpful. Any things that I'm behaving, and so it might be a situation at work, it might be a situation with family. Actually, I'm not behaving the best version of myself. It's a situation where I kind of think, oh, I just feel like a bit of a muppet, like I was saying at the start. That's not like the real version of me, the best version of me. It's a little bit prideful, it's a little bit fearful. Maybe just ask the Lord just to show, you know, is there any reason for that? Is there anything that's just kind of happened within me? You know, like me and my mate at school, that maybe God wants to shine a light on. So that's it, really. Quite a quick one. Quite quick, quite simple. I hope that's understandable. But maybe, Kerry, if you just could play a little bit, and if you just like to just give people maybe just 5 minutes, just to think, just to reflect, just to process. This is one of the great things as well, just sorry to butt in. One of the great things about Sozo, if you never had a Sozo, the genius of it is, you know, if you have kind of a, you know, a situation you're struggling with, or you know, you're struggling to get, you know, a truth or a good perspective, or you know, you think I can't break through in this area, or I've got this memory and I don't have a clue, God, what you think, you know, what was going on here, or whatever. It just enables like you to hear just Jesus' opinion on stuff, and it just is wonderful. Really, really, I find it very, very helpful.